Hey, this is Phil Canizo, lead pastor at Hope City Church. Thanks for tuning into our podcast. My prayer is that this helps and encourages you, gives you some practical ways to live out your faith, and ultimately fills you with hope. Enjoy the message. It's been said that you can destroy your life with one wrong decision. What would that decision be for you? What's the thing that would take you out? What's your Achilles heel? By the way, do you ever wonder where that phrase even came from, Achilles heel? I mean, it's just part of our English vocabulary today. It's derived from something in Greek mythology. And in short, the story goes that Achilles had a mom named Thetis who wanted to make him immortal. And she thought she could do this by submerging him into a river called Styx. The story goes on that she held Achilles by his heel when she was dipping him in the water, and so his whole body was immortal except for the heel that she was hanging on to. And then it goes on to say that he fought in the Trojan War but was killed when he was shot in the heel by an arrow. The term Achilles heel has come to mean a weakness in spite of overall strength that can lead to a downfall. And every single one of us has a weakness. A vulnerability that could take us out. Every single one of us is one decision away from destroying our life. And today I want to talk to you about how to always win, how to put parameters in place so that you're not taken out by that one decision, how to guard yourself against that one devastating area. And by the way, maybe you feel like you're there. Like you've hit rock bottom and you regret a decision and you're living with the aftermath of that decision. Everything inside of me wants to let you know that you're not finished. You're not done. It's not too late. There is a God who, by his own grace, by his own mercy and love, reaches out to you and says, it's not over. He says, take my hand, walk with me. In me, there is forgiveness. In me, there is a new start. I actually love how David, he's the writer of Psalm 40, he put it this way, and he was someone who literally threw all he had away with a single bad choice. He slept with another man's wife, and then he killed the man. And listen to what David said after that decision. He said, he lifted me out of the slimy pit, meaning God lifted me out. He lifted me out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. God can and wants to do the very same thing for you today. And if you've made a choice that has landed you where you don't want to be, reach out. He wants to lift you out of everything that's going on. He wants to set you up on a place where you can no longer feel like you're drowning, where you no longer sense that you're hopeless. He actually puts a new song in your mouth, meaning he changes how you speak. You no longer need to talk about the shame, the regret, the defeat. He comes and puts words of healing next and hope into your mouth. And so my prayer, if you have taken yourself out with that one decision, is just this. Recognize it's never too late. If you're hearing these words today, that is God saying to you, come to me. Now, I'm finishing off our series entitled 13 Verses, and what a great series this has been. We have gone through 13 verses in the New Testament book of Romans, chapter 12, that describe what a Christian's life should look like. Verses that help us to understand what makes a Christian Christian. They describe what love tangibly looks like in the life of someone who says, I want to follow Christ. And this morning, I'm going to land on the final verse. It says this, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Paul gives us the answer in how to never succumb to that one dreadful decision. He tells us how to always win. And this is important because none of us like to lose, especially in life, but it's true in a whole bunch of things. You know, I really like playing the Settlers of Catan, and I think I'm pretty good at this game until I play Pastor Kevin. Because no matter what, each time we play, he pulls this move out of his sleeve that I really didn't see coming, and he wins. And it kind of floors me, because I could be playing the game, I'm like, finally I got this dude, finally I'm going to win. And then all of a sudden, it's his turn, and he builds a city, he gets the largest army and the longest road, and boom, he wins. None of us like losing. And Paul lands this verse as a summary to the previous 12 verses. It's an echo of what he wrote at the beginning of these 13 verses, where he said this, "Hate what is evil, cling to what is good." And then he goes on to give us the list of what evil and good look like. And I want you to hear what he wrote in Romans chapter 12. He said this, "Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay,' says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." And the word "overcome" here means defeated or overwhelmed, to allow something to get the better of you. There are actually two ways we can apply that last verse, that statement, to our lives, and it's with others and with ourselves. And I want to look at both of them. When we respond to evil with evil, we add to it, and that is the antithesis of what we should be doing. There's this really interesting story found in the Old Testament, and it centers around a prophet named Elisha. Now, prophets, just so you know, were people who acted as God's voice to the nations. And it's a little funny what was going on in this moment in the life of Elisha. And you can read about this in 2 Kings chapter 6. So the story goes that there was this king from the nation of Aram who was at constant war with Israel. He wanted to take them out, but each time he would set up an ambush to attack Israel, Elisha knew about it and he would warn the king of Israel. So the plan was always unsuccessful. And this drove the king of Aram nuts. He actually thought that one of his own men was acting as a mole. And this is what his advisors said to him. They said, "Elisha the prophet who is in Israel tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom." Okay, first off, how creepy is that, right? And secondly, Elijah has some serious powers here. And this ticks the king off so much that he demands Elisha be captured and tortured. And so what he does is he sends out this strong force of men to just go capture one man. But again, Elisha outwits them. He wakes up one day and he's surrounded by this vast army. They're coming towards him. And this is what we read. Elisha says this, he prays to the Lord, "Strike this army with blindness." And we find out that God struck them with blindness. And so I kind of want to read you the end of the story here and what happened. So the Lord strikes these guys, this army, as they're coming with blindness. And then this is what happens. Elisha goes up to them. "This is not the road, and this is not the city." In other words, he's like, "You got the wrong guy. Follow me, and I will lead you to the man you are looking for." And he led them to Samaria. After they entered the city, Elisha said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men so that they can see." Then the Lord opened their eyes, and they looked, and they were inside Samaria. So they're inside Israel, okay? And when the king of Israel saw them, he asked Elisha, "Shall I kill them, my father? Shall I kill them?" In other words, these guys who have been trying to take us out, should I kill them? Should I take their life? "Do not kill them," Elisha answered. "Would you kill those you have captured with your own sword or bow? Set food and water before them so that they may eat and drink and then go back to their master." So he prepared a great feast for them. And after they had finished eating and drinking, he sent them away and they returned to their master. So the bands from Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory. Okay, so these guys, they were out to kill Elisha, out to kill the king of Israel, out to kill that nation. These guys were continuously trying to find ways in how they could take over the city. They wanted to do nothing more than to take down their enemy. And then they are finally in the hands of their enemy. And what did Israel do? They fed them. They gave them water. They threw a massive feast, which strengthened them, and then they sent them home. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And notice the outcome. It says this, the last verse I read. So the bands from Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory. You want to know the best way to get rid of an enemy? You turn them into a friend. Our most powerful weapon against evil is good. We lose when we retaliate against evil. But this statement, do not be overcome with evil, can also be applied to our personal tensions, to the thing that can take you out, to your Achilles heel. Paul wrote at another time, I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. And the word mastered means to be controlled or enslaved. It's the thing that could take us out, that one decision that has the potential to ruin our lives. Now, we might not intentionally think this, but when we're overcome by evil, when we are mastered by something, we replace God in our lives. We put something else in the place of God, and Scripture tells us this is idolatry. We believe that something will fulfill us more than God, and it could be that drink, that sexual escapade, that hit, that ongoing coping mechanism. It's when we seek to find some meaning, some peace, or some rest that ultimately only God can provide. Do not be overcome by evil. Christian, do not be taken out by that one thing that can take you out. You know, there's quite a few ways that this can happen, but I want to land on a few here. Addictions are the things that control our choices more than we truly want or at times think that they do. They are the things that ultimately destroy our lives. You know, I just heard recently about how a guy allowed his addiction to pornography to take over, and he eventually looked for fulfillment outside of his spouse and ruined his marriage. And I want to read you something from Scripture. And if you're dealing with an addiction, man, this is super cool. And let this speak to you. It says this, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to humankind. So check this out. You're not abnormal. Other people deal with the stuff that you deal with. And it goes on here. Paul's writing this, by the way. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. Interesting, right? See what Paul's doing here. He's calling this a form of idolatry. Don't make this thing, your addiction, bigger than God in your life. Because the fact is, our faithful God is bigger than anything you can face, than any addiction, than anything that has the power to take you out. And I love that Paul uses the word flee here. It implies run from this. Don't even get close to this. Don't be overcome by evil. Another way that we can be taken out is through anger. If you don't deal with your anger, it can actually beget more anger in your life. Paul wrote it this way, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Now, a foothold is a place where your foot can find grounding and not slip. And in our anger, we can give a place for the devil, for evil, to be so secure in our life that we make it this grounding upon where we stand. And once we do this, we are overcome by it. Kind of like how James says it. He says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. I've also seen people taken out by their resentment towards others. Someone did something and you're not going to let them forget it. And this ultimately deals with an unforgiving heart. That is not releasing yourself and someone else for something that happened to you. And this can be the thing that takes you down and causes your life to stall and get stuck. Now, I'm not minimizing anything that may have caused deep wounds in your life. And you got to know this. My heart breaks when I hear stories of things people have had to deal with based on the unwise or the evil choices of others. But remember, Paul is saying, don't be overcome by evil. Don't allow the evil of someone else to continually affect the outcome of your life. Jesus said it this way, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. Trouble meaning anything that causes pain, distress, calamity. You're going to face this. You're going to come up against stuff that has the potential to take your heart sideways. But then he goes on. He says, but take heart. Friends, take heart. Jesus says, I have overcome the world. And there's that word again, overcome. Meaning, I have not been defeated or overwhelmed. I've not let it take the better of me. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Okay, I get it. This is hard, but so is the alternative. You know, I've heard it said, marriage is hard, divorce is hard, choose your heart. Obesity is hard, being fit is hard, choose your heart. Being in debt is hard, being financially disciplined is hard, choose your heart. Communicating is hard, not communicating is hard, choose your heart. Being overcome by evil is hard, overcoming evil with good is hard, choose your heart. So how do you then overcome evil with good? How do we always win? Let's look again at how Paul describes good in this passage in Romans chapter 12. He says it this way, be devoted to other Christians. He says, honor one another above yourself. Have passion in your relationship with Christ. Be joyful. Be patient when times are tough. Pray lots. Share with others. Drop your ego. Release your need for revenge. He gives us this massive list and says, this is how you win. This is how you overcome evil. In fact, Paul gives us a great analogy. He says, good is feeding your enemy when he is hungry. It's giving him a drink when he is thirsty. It sounds a lot like what Elisha had the king of Israel do for his enemies, right? And then he says it this way, by doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Now, that's kind of a funny line, and picture it for a moment. It's actually kind of disturbing, right? And what is he saying there? He's saying, acting in this way, you will make your enemy feel a burning sense of shame. Treat your enemy kindly because that will increase their guilt, their disgrace, and their embarrassment. And it will lead to a favorable outcome. Treat them this way and you will have overcome evil with good. In the 50s, a preacher named David Wilkerson infiltrated a gang-controlled neighborhood on the streets of New York where he was just sharing the message of Jesus. And one of the most notorious and most feared gang leaders, Nicky Cruz, approached him and said, you come near me and I'll kill you. And Wilkerson replied, yeah, you could do that. You could cut me up into 1,000 pieces and lay them in the street and every piece will still love you. That is overcoming evil with good. And here's the thing about good. It's an intentional choice. Good is an inclination of the heart. Good comes down to an attitude before it ever becomes an action. So no matter what evil you need to overcome, whether it's with others or the thing that can take you out, this is what you need to understand. Good is an attitude before it's an action. See, earlier in chapter 12 of Romans, Paul writes this. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. What's that pattern? Paying back evil for evil. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and his perfect will. Now, the word transformed refers to a metamorphosis that occurs, a change of form or nature of a person into a completely different one by supernatural means. We can change who we are by the process of renewing our minds, our attitude. And that can only be done supernaturally through the work of the Holy Spirit. In metamorphosis, you go from an immature form to an adult form. And Paul's saying, hey, Christian, to be overcome by evil is an immature way of living, and to overcome evil with good is mature. So church, this is solid food. This is the stuff you want to grow into. Overcome evil with good. So the thing that can take you out, your Achilles heel? You start with one small step in the right direction. You start with one small choice to say no. You start with a shift in your attitude, which leads to a shift in your heart, which leads to a shift in your actions. That's how you win every time. For that person who is difficult, you start with one small step in the right direction. One small choice to act differently. You start with a shift in your attitude that leads to a shift in your heart, that leads to a shift in your actions. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's the intentional choice to work at it, to grow into it, and to consistently put it into practice, to go at it over and over again. Persistence is how you build resistance. That's how you learn to overcome evil with good. Persistence is how you build resistance. Church, imagine if we lived this way. Imagine if we made this our default response. Imagine if instead of retaliation, we worked for reconciliation. Instead of giving in to sin, we never gave up working against sin. Instead of lashing out at others, we loved more. Instead of telling our mind ways to get back at someone, we worked on transforming our mind. Instead of making that one decision that could wreck our life, we made that one decision that could make right our life. Imagine if instead of being overcome by evil, we overcome evil with good. This is what Christians do. This is what changes the world. This is what takes our faith to the next level. This is what catapults movement towards God. This is how to live when you say, I am a Christ follower. This ultimately is how you always win. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I want to pray for you right now. God, I thank you so much for every person that's watching. I thank you for their life, for who they are, for how you've carried them, you instructed them, how you've brought them to this juncture. And I thank you that they are engaging with us today. And I just pray that no matter what it is that they're walking through, that you guard their heart, that you guard their mind, that you help them live as Christians should live. I pray that you give them a transformation in their thinking, that you transform their hearts, that you renew their minds, that they may be able to move forward and say, yes, I can overcome evil with good. No matter what area in their life they're struggling with, no matter what individual they might hold in tension, may they be able to go forward this week and say, I'm going to put this into practice. I'm going to renew my mind. I'm going to change who I am. And I'm going to say, God, help me to overcome evil with good. And so I pray that over every single individual. You know, in a message like this, I would be amiss to address the ultimate good that overcame evil and what Jesus did on the cross. The thing we remembered through the act of communion earlier in this service. Through the cross, Jesus dealt with all our sin, our pain, and our wrongdoing, and he welcomes us into a new life and a new hope built upon overcoming evil with good. He set the example. He set the premise. He bore our sins on the cross. He covered them with his death so that by his act, we are set free. And the gospel is all about this, what God did for us through Jesus. He sent his son to die because he loved you so much, but not to die only, but to rise again and overcome all that can bring fear and tension in your life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. And if you're watching today and you haven't made that decision to believe in him, I want to tell you, following Jesus is the best decision you can make in your life. And I would love to lead you through this and pray with you. Let's pray. Jesus, I see myself in need of you. And I thank you that you conquered all evil through this amazingly good act you did on the cross, that you redeemed humankind and you redeemed me personally. And I thank you for the forgiveness that I can receive because of that, for the hope, for the new life, and for the purpose. And so today I ask you to come in and be Lord and leader of my life. And I want to follow you from this day forward. And Lord, I pray for every individual, for every couple, and for every family that's watching right now. I pray blessing, strength, wisdom, guidance upon them. I ask that they go into this week knowing, God, you are for them, that you surround them, that you carry them, and that they walk with you knowing that they can face anything because the God who reigns supremely is the God who is moving and working in their life. And so I bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, if you did pray that prayer where you surrendered your life to Christ, can I ask you to go to hopecity.ca/life? We have a digital booklet there that would be great for you to download and just look at. It talks about knowing Jesus and what it means to follow Jesus. We also would love to connect with you in person. And so you'd be able to reach out to one of our pastoral staff and they would get a hold of you. And it also gives you the opportunity to look into a course that we love around here called the Alpha Course. It's a great course that talks about who God is and everything to do with Christianity. So I just encourage you to check that out. Church, go and win this week. Go and overcome evil with good. Go and make a difference. Love you guys, praying for you. Have a great week.